If you can control or have a controlled hypoxema, you can have a positive stress response. Yes, it is stressful. Yes, you have a low amount of oxygen. And in doing so, you can fight random diseases. So it can enhance like athletic performance. It can help you with mental cognition.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
What's up, podcaster? The amount of value that you can get from this episode and by following the ideas that I'll be sharing can literally be insane, and I'm stoked to share a little bit of that with you. We've been doing a little bit of biohacking. We've been doing a little bit of episodes just every now and again, just for the last few weeks, and I've been getting a pretty good response from those episodes so far. And the amount of value that I believe that you can get from today's episode, I think is just insane. And I'm pretty stoked to be able to share this with you. I don't know if you follow this guy. His name is Andrew Huberman. Yeah, Huberman Labs. I would recommend that you check him out. He's a neuroscientist from, I think it's Harvard. If I'm wrong on that, forgive me. And he's somebody that I follow a lot of his content. I really respect him. I think he does a very, very good job. And he brought up this study that had happened where they took two groups. They took one group where they were meditating, and they took another group where they meditate and do a breath work, this thing called the Wim Hof method. So the point, I'll get into Wim Hof method later probably, but first and foremost, there's half of them that meditate and the other half that meditate and also do some breath work while meditating. So it was very, very interesting because what they ended up doing is they injected both groups. They injected them with this thing called E. coli. E. coli is an endotoxin. I was going to call it a neurotoxin, but endotoxin. And so they injected two groups and they found something super duper interesting. And yes, this has something to do with podcasting. I promise there's a lot of information on this short episode, and it does have something to do for you, even if we're talking a little bit about breath work and E. coli. They take these two groups, the meditators and the breathers. And the meditators, they just sit there and focus on the happiness and the goodness. And then they have the breath work people that control their breath in a certain way while meditating. And they see what ends up happening. And the people that got that, well, they were all injected with E. coli, an endotoxin. All of them were. The meditators alone simply got really, really sick. They got fevers and so much more. And the people that controlled their breath using this thing called the Wim Hof method, interestingly enough, that group of people ended up, most of them not getting sick at all, but a few of them getting a little bit sick, being able to avoid the sickness very, very quickly. So Wim Hof, this guy who developed this breath work, that one of these two groups that Andrew Huberman mentioned in this study, this guy named Wim Hof, some people call him the Iceman. I think he has 20 some odd world records of just insane things. I'll name three. He spent 2 hours. You've heard I do ice baths. I love ice baths. I did another one this morning. I did 4 minutes this morning. I love the way that I feel after being in there for a couple of minutes. It's amazing. And I think it would be very, very challenging to be in there for much more than 12 minutes. Now, I've done 12 and a half minutes, and my fingers, my hands were frozen. They were numb. So when I got out of the ice bath after 12 minutes, it was pretty scary because I wondered if I would be able to use my hands again. That was a legitimate concern. As I got out of the ice bath, it was 12 and a half minutes at 33 degrees, a shit ton of ice, and got a video of it as well. As I sit there, I'm like, okay, this doesn't hurt anymore. Well, of course, because I went numb. So I get out of the ice bath and I'm like, oh crap, I'm not going to be able to put my hands down to like brace myself to get up. And the reason that I was concerned about that is because I didn't know if I couldn't like move my hands. I couldn't even feel my hands. So I felt like if I did put my weight, I'm not a small guy. I did feel like if I put my weight on myself, I might break my wrist or a finger or something. I might do something dangerous. Maybe my hand was so frozen that it would snap because it was brittle. Not a valid concern, but it was, however, a concern that I had at the time. So this guy named Wim Hof, he's done 20 some odd world records, Guinness records as well. I don't think all 20 of them are in the book of Guinness, but the point is, One of those things is he went under the ice for 2 hours without lowering his core body temp. I was curious today. So I had a regular core body temp. It was like 99 degrees. It was pretty normal when I got into the ice bath. And I checked it after and went to 96 degrees, 96.1 degrees. I thought that was interesting because I'm thinking about this guy named Wim Hof. He was in there for 2 hours and his core body temperature didn't go lower. But anyway, so he has one record is he was in the ice for 2 hours. Another record is he literally climbed Mount Everest in just his shorts. Now, who of you knows already that Mount Everest has the most amount of dead people, the most amount of just people that couldn't do it? They had backpacks, they had food, they had ice picks. This guy, Wim Hof, climbed Mount Everest just wearing shorts. He didn't have a shirt on. So he was incredibly cold. And I mean, he didn't have all of the food and everything that others had, and he was able to do this. So he has a world record there as well. And a third thing is just similarly to the two groups that Andrew Huberman was talking about, where they were both groups were injected with E. coli, a endotoxin. Now, Wim Hof, he went into a lab and he was injected voluntarily with an endotoxin. There's a bunch of different ones like E. coli and salmonella and other different toxins that would fit within endotoxin. At any rate, as he injected himself, he used this thing called breathwork, and he was able to fight the sickness completely by just controlling the way that he breathes. And I think it's super interesting for you as a podcaster, for you as a business person, for you as a human, that you have an ability to be able to control how you can feel just by, and when I say how you feel, I definitely mean your alertness. I definitely mean your emotions, like if you're happy, if you're sad, if you're relaxed. And I also mean if you're going to get a cold or a flu or salmonella or some other endotoxin. But he was injected with this and he was able to avoid it by breathing a certain way. I'm going to get into just a little bit of that. But first, I want to talk just briefly about there's sympathetic and then there's parasympathetic. Sympathetic nervous system or sympathetic response is going to be alertness, awakeness. It's your fight or flight response. And then the parasympathetic is the more relaxed. That's where we rest and digest. So sympathetic, fight and flight, parasympathetic, rest and digest. Interestingly enough, this is like a side note as I was doing some additional research before making this podcast, because I was curious. As I was doing research for this additional research, I was curious. I was thinking to myself, in what way do we get like sexually aroused and perform better? And I thought it was interesting because there's one random difference. You would think that the sympathetic response, the alertness and the fight and flight would be better there. But randomly enough, it's the parasympathetic, rest and digest. It's the relaxed part where we're at that peak sexually. It's kind of interesting. And I think that's might be why many couples do things more in the morning and the evening versus midday. At any rate, lots of interesting stuff. Sympathetic, alert, fight and flight, parasympathetic, relaxed, rest and digest. Now, there's a reason why I'm bringing this up is because you can control the sympathetic or the parasympathetic. You can control it by the way that you breathe. That means if you're going into an interview on your podcast, if you want it to go a certain way, you can control that situation ahead of time. I realize when I get into the ice bath and when I see other people that I coach and help with ice baths and stuff like that, I notice that we get into the sympathetic, the alertness, the fight and flight. We start breathing really, really fast and deep and heavy, shallow, kind of not deep, but shallow and quick because we're freaking out. We think that we're going to die because it's so freaking cold, right? And what I've learned over a long time of doing ice baths myself is that I have to get in and I have to start to relax. I have to control my breathing into that parasympathetic, the relaxed, the rest and digest. And I've been able to do that over time. And same with Wim Hof, who has those many records. And I mentioned three of them a little bit ago. So the point that I'm making is you can control the state that you're in based on how you breathe. If you breathe fast, then you're going to be more in the fight or flight. If you breathe slow, really, really slow, then you're going to be able to tap into the parasympathetic, that rest and digest, that relaxed state. even if you're in a stressful situation. So I'm going to go into a little bit of this briefly, where we're talking about going back up to the endotoxin that Wim Hof and also those other two groups were injected with, the endotoxin. How they were able to get over that sickness, how they were able to fight that, is they increased their breathing. They increased the breathing rate. It was quick. And basically what they did is your blood oxygen level, really, it's controlled hypoxemia. Basically, a hypoxic state is, you can have a positive response from basically, hypoxic state would mean that you have a low amount of oxygen. And when you have a low amount of oxygen, you basically trigger things that make you alert, like, for example, adrenaline. And when you get adrenaline, you are able to fight different sicknesses. So the point is, there's a lot to breath work. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of ways to do it. And what I'm talking about here is, like, if you can control or have a controlled hypoxemia, basically you can have a positive stress response. Yes, it is stressful. Yes, you have a low amount of oxygen. And in doing so, you can fight random diseases. So it can enhance like athletic performance. It can help you with mental cognition, brain plasticity. It can help you with your body composition, like looking better, feeling better, having more muscle versus fat. It can reduce a lot of risk of any type of cardiovascular disease. And by training yourself with intermittent hypoxic training, basically by purposefully holding your breath or breathing, like the best word would be basically to hyperventilate, vasoconstrict. That means your blood vessels will get smaller. When you do these things on purpose, when you do intermittent hypoxic training, the military does this. Olympic athletes do this. Other professional sports people will do this, like fighters, for example, will do this purposefully. And it will help them to be able to perform better when they need to. So you do that intentionally. And yes, it improves your immune system. Yes, it improves your mental cognition. Yes, it improves like your athletic performance. And it can also help you increase your, what's the word for it? Immune system as well. So that is on the one side. I'm going to give you just a bit more information because this is interesting. And I'm trying to help you so that if you do want to focus on this, you don't need to hire a coach for a whole bunch of money or something like that. But I'm trying to give you some basics so that when you go into a podcast interview, you know which way to breathe. So I'm going to give you a couple of ways to breathe that will help you to be able to focus. And so let me share with you that there are many, many different types of this. There's the Wim Hof breathing method that we already kind of mentioned. I can explain a little bit of some of these in a sec. There's holotropic, where basically you start really, really slow at breathing and you build up pretty fast. There's the shamanic breathing method. There's rebirthing breathing method. And there's pranayama, I think it's called pranayama breathing method. There's a somatic breathing method. There's a transformational breathing method. And they're all kind of different. Like, for example, the transformational is you're on your back and you do it for a whole hour. The somatic, you can do it shorter. You can do 30 breaths and then hold your breath for a little while and then do 30 more breaths. And then there's the, pranamaya, basically random. There's three different ways to do that. You can plug one of your nostrils for and then breathe out of the other one. So you plug one and while you breathe in, plug the other one while you breathe out. There's another one where you do the ocean breathing for the, I wish I could pronounce this better, pranayamaya. I can't even say it. That's embarrassing. But the point is, it's interesting because there are so many different types. And one of them, you basically create the ocean where you basically sound like an ocean when you breathe. And then another one is you plug your ears and you breathe in and then you'll hum. You'll literally hum. And so all of these different types do different things. The holotropic, you start slow, then you build up. The shamanic does a little bit differently. And some of these are more on the parasympathetic and others are on the sympathetic, which means some of these give you a boost of energy and cognition while the others let you slow down and get into the moment. Hopefully that's making sense for you. And another random thing is there's this thing called controlled pause. There's this controlled pause where you just, after practicing this breathing, you figure out how many seconds you can hold your breath while all of your air is out. So think about it like this. Some of these breathwork types, some of them, you're lying on your back. Others, you're sitting up. Now, most likely, you're not going to want to be in water where you could drown or standing up where you could pass out and fall down. you want to either already be on your back or you might want to be sitting up depending on which one. So some are on your back, some are sitting down. Some you breathe with your mouth and others you breathe with your nose. And even still others you'll breathe with your mouth and your nose or your nose in and your mouth out. But the point is others you breathe through your upper lungs, your chest. And while some of the others you breathe through your diaphragm where it's a little bit bigger. And these will give you different results. Some you pause while like hold your breath while the breath is in. Some you pause while the breath is out. Some you breathe really, really, really fast. And some you breathe really slow. Now that we've kind of gotten through some of the basics, I want to share with you a way that you can focus on podcasting and other things. Let's just say that you're going into a meeting, a job interview, or you are doing a discovery call or a sales call, or you're about to speak on a stage. I want to give you some things that you can do right before a podcast interview that can allow you to get into the right mindset. And so think about it like if you're breathing fast, you're increasing energy and alertness. And if you're breathing slow, you're relaxing. Remember that fight or flight sympathetic versus rest and digest parasympathetic. So as you go into a podcast interview, something that you can do, and by the way, you can be practicing these things. Like you could do that somatic breathing, for example, in the morning where you do 30 breaths where you breathe in for 2 counts and out for 4, 30 different times, then hold your breath for as long as you can. And then you breathe again, you in for 2 and out for 4, 30 different times. You can do this every morning as a meditation and or just to set your expectations right. And that can benefit you as a human and a podcaster. And you can do this right before you jump into a podcast interview. I will share that right after this message. Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show. Before the break, I shared with you a whole bunch of information, Wim Hof, Andrew Huberman, the different types, being on your back, being sitting up, breathing through your mouth, your nose, your diaphragm, your chest, pausing, breathing fast and breathing slow. And I mentioned that when we got back, I would share with you something you can do right before an episode, right before you interview somebody or right before you do your own content. And what that can be is you can actually do what's very, very similar to the somatic breathing. And it goes like this. Well, there's a combination. So what I would recommend is you would breathe in 3 times as deep as you can, in. So you're completely full of air. And then you just let the air out fast. And by that, you don't push the air. You don't hold the air back. You just let it out. Just let it happen. Okay. In, out. In, out. This is going to get you alert. This is going to start adding more oxygen to your brain. This is going to start getting you into a mental awareness. And then I would breathe a little bit differently. I would, once you do that a few times, a good number of times, let's say you spend a minute or two doing that, then spend a minute or two just controlling your breath, using your diaphragm and your chest by breathing in for about 3 to 5 counts. And you breathe out very, very slowly. Depends on how fast is your count. Let's just call it a 1, 2, 3, 4. So in that way, you would want to breathe out for somewhere between 4 to 8 seconds. So you breathe in for 2 to 4, and then you breathe out for 4 to 8 counts. And as you do this, you get yourself into a very great state where you're coming from a good place. You're coming from a place where you got all the oxygen already by breathing the in, out. And now you're having that chance to be able to get yourself out of the fight or flight place. Because the energy that you get from the first type of breathing that I just mentioned is beneficial. It brings more oxygen to your brain as well. And then now you can get yourself into the rest and digest state by just breathing in for 2 to 4 counts and then out for 4 to 8. Just remember, it doesn't matter if you're breathing in for 2, out for 4 or in for 4, out for 8, but you always want to double the amount of time that you breathe out. Now, the breathing out is double the amount of time. So you really want to control that going out. This is what I do when I'm in the ice bath. This is how I don't freak out. This is the way that I allow myself to be in the ice bath for 3 minutes, 6 minutes, 9 minutes, or 12 minutes without freaking out or stressing out, is because I control that breathing, where I breathe in for a couple of counts and I breathe out for double that amount. I breathe in for 4 counts and I breathe out for 8 counts, for example. And as I just relax, it gets me into a place where I'm able to focus. You're going to be able to put out really great content. You're going to be able to think well. I was watching an interview with Wim Hof, and he had gotten out of the ice, like not even just a water ice bath, but like just ice. And he was talking about getting into that place. And he said, when we are stressed, we don't think clearly. When we are freaking out, when we're in a more of like an adrenaline state, remember that's the sympathetic adrenaline, alertness. When we're in that more adrenaline state, we don't always know the best questions to ask our guest. We don't always know the easiest, most clear way to explain something to our listener. So that's why we want to get into the parasympathetic state, where it's more relaxed, rest and digest. In that state, we're able to think more clearly and we're able to pause. We're able to be present. So remember, the next time you do an interview or a solo episode, try that breathing technique first. In, out. In, out for a minute or two. And then in for 2 to 4 counts and then out for 4 to 8 counts. And you'll be ready for a great interview. I'll see you on the next episode.
You're not alone if you're ready to either get your very first affordable microphone or if you're ready to upgrade your equipment to some legit podcasting studio equipment. Because on all of the forums over the last few months, I'm seeing this all the time. Even my own personal clients that work with my team, they're ready to get that next microphone. They're asking us for it. Additionally, when I'm on discovery calls with potential clients, they're always asking for this stuff. Hey, what mic do you recommend? Hey, what lighting do you recommend? What webcam should I be using? So many questions. And so what we did, my whole team has put together a PDF so that if you're one of those people who is looking to either get your very first affordable microphone, or if you're ready to upgrade your equipment to more professional podcast studio equipment, whether it's soundproofing or whatever, we've got you covered by going to growyourshow.com/PDF. And you can download the PDF for free. Or right there on the webpage is everything that you would have and you don't need to download the PDF. Either way, just go to growyourshow.com/PDF, which will put you to the podcasting equipment that me and my team have personally vetted. I'll see you on the next episode.
If you